Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call. We're glad that you got to join us. By the way, I also want to say thank you to a new sponsor slash supporter. The Robinson & Stith Insurance Agency is helping us keep this show on the air. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Very good. Now, Mary, you wanted to go somewhere.
Yes. For people who don't think their vote counts, Phil Berger has conceded his primary election to Sheriff Sam Page.
Now, who is Phil Berger? What is his position?
Well, currently he is the
President pro tem
of the Senate, the North Carolina Senate. And he was running in a primary election against Sheriff Sam Page.
Okay. How long has Berger been in power at the legislature?
Forever.
26 years.
Yeah, I think he's been a Senate leader for a dozen, though.
Yeah, that's important at least to know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I guess he wasn't loved. But the difference in the race was 23 votes. So if you think your vote doesn't count, you might want to take a look at that, because if those 23 people hadn't voted.
Or if you think illegal votes don't count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another one.
Or if you want to sit back and let somebody else decide your future and don't vote.
And the thing is, you know, that Phil Berger, he tried every possible recount option.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, he had a group that was looking at all kinds of ways to make sure that the voting was valid. And apparently, they didn't find any documentable fraud or miscounts. So that's reassuring, actually. It's reassuring about the elections, at least in that county in North Carolina. I can't swear the rest of the counties. But
in the hand I count, he was only required to find two votes. That only had to change by two votes, so it didn't change by any. And they were random picked precincts that had the hand I recount, is how that worked. So his only challenge possibly at that point would have been in the courts, based on 13 ballots that he contested for other reasons. I don't know what they were, but anyway, they determined that even if he won all of those challenges, it still wasn't going to change the election.
And the problem, part of the problem too, was he forgot who he was supposed to represent. He was being strongly encouraged by the casino lobby to open up casino gambling in North Carolina, not necessarily a popular move. And I believe he was involved in Shrimpgate, was he not?
Yes, he was. But if you think about how much money he spent on his primary campaign, money that's not going to be available for other people in the general election in November, but he spent between $10 and $12 million on a primary campaign and lost by 23 votes. That tells you how badly he wanted to stay in power. Also, I cannot in my wildest dreams imagine why you'd spend $1 million, much less $12 million, on a job that pays $30,000 a year.
To stay in power.
Well, if the donors are willing to give it to you, why not spend it?
Yes. But I think this goes into a more of a general fund, and he's got more decision-making power on where that money goes.
Right, the caucus
for the
money.
Caucus.
Yeah.
General
yeah.
fund. What kind of general fund?
No, I'm saying into a general...
Like the Senate
campaign
caucus.
Campaign fund.
Oh. Campaign support.
Yeah.
Now,
general
isn't
campaign.
There something, let's say he lost his election, so he will no longer be a member of the Senate. Is that true?
Correct.
Come January.
Okay. Is he entitled to keep any of his campaign funds?
They're not his.
Well, if it's part
of this group,
if
they're in a general fund, they're not his.
If they're in like a Senate campaign fund, no.
Or like the funds they have at the national level, the DNC,
RNC.
War chest, or the RNC. But if you get individual contributions, those you can keep.
And I'm sure he got some of that too.
Yes.
I mean.
And again, you don't know, you know, we talk about Shrimpgate and we talk about the casinos. We don't know, or we haven't looked up yet, what the donations were from those industries to try to keep him in power.
Well, doesn't matter now.
No, but it's also, it encourages me that you can't buy elections.
Oh, yes, you can.
You can't, not all the time.
Buy this one. So yeah. Was he involved with the marijuana?
Yes.
I think he was in favor of legal medical marijuana.
Okay, because, good reason to get rid of him.
I mean, talking about buying elections, I mean, if you could buy elections, Hillary Clinton would have been president.
Well, one of the things I had against Phil Berger was for, I think, 9-10 years, the General Assembly and the Senate in particular, they were opposed to the expansion of Medicaid. And he flipped on that issue completely, and he got most of the senators, except I think it was Norm Sanderson, the gentleman that voted against it, to expand Medicaid. And now we've made that into another one of these expanding social programs that continue to destroy this country. So I did hold that against him. He just flipped like a pancake.
I'm with you, too.
The leadership in the House and in the Senate, the House leader and the Senate pro tem, they are the ones that have the authority to present a bill on the floor. So any of the bills that never got presented, you can link back to the leadership. And some of the things that never came for a fight was when heartbeat bill was, when we were trying to get the heartbeat bill through. And they never brought it to the floor. They never had a fight over it because in caucus, we don't have the votes. They'll never pass that. Personally, I wanted to see the fight.
You want to see who was on the record as taking what stand.
Correct. And not ever getting to see that, I think, is offensive to we the people.
And the other part of Berger was that in many cases, his money, his campaign money, went to people opposing conservative senators and conservative representatives. And I'm glad he's gone.
One of the things that will come up in this short session now is how do we reconcile the state budget between the House and the Senate versions? We are running only on a continuing
budget.
Yeah. We need that state budget to go in. We need it to be reconciled and go in. And that's something that we hope we can break the log jam.
Well, we hope to break the log jam, but I don't want to break the log jam at the cost of putting tolls on the ferries in eastern North Carolina, which is currently in that budget.
I agree.
Okay, I got another one. You want another local one?
Okay, go for it.
There was a plan to put wind farms off New York and off Brunswick County, North Carolina, French Energy Company. And the Trump administration put some pressure and made a deal. And those wind farms will not be constructed.
Yay.
And the money that would have been spent is going to be used to create a Rio Grande liquefied natural gas plant on the Gulf that will help meet the natural gas needs of us and of Europe also. And they have a deal worked out where the French company that was going to spend the money on windmills is going to help with the development of this natural gas thing, and then they'll be reimbursed.
Who's going to own it?
We are. That's a good question.
Yeah, I think as long as we're talking about energy independence, we need to keep in mind who owns what.
I agree. I totally agree with that.
You want another local one?
You got another local one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. So you do yours first.
Okay, real quick one. Supreme Court, skeptical on mail-in ballots. Apparently, Judge Alito, in the dialogue, he says, well, when is Memorial Day? When is Labor Day? When is Christmas Day? When is New Year's Day? Do they have an extension period? Looks like the Supreme Court is going to say, to tell Mississippi there is no extension.
And Election Day is mentioned in the Constitution, so it's not dependent on a statute.
Something else about mail-in ballots that I've just learned about. For some reason, the United States Postal Service has decided that they are not going to postmark envelopes when they're received, but when they reach the destination drop, like if something is sent from Charlotte, it's not going to be postmarked when you put it in the mail in Charlotte. It'll be postmarked when it gets into New Bern out for delivery. What would that do to a mail-in ballot? Because we already extend the days after the election for those mail-in ballots. They have to be, quote, postmarked by.
We do know, going back to the 2004 election, that Darren was stationed overseas, and he had a friend. When you're military and you're stationed overseas, you had a franking privilege where you could just write a franking on your letters being mailed. Ballots coming into the U.S., because they said franking and were not postmarked, they were not included in the as valid ballots.
What's franking mean?
Franking means that
free stamps.
Free.
Oh.
At Congress, all the members of Congress have franking.
Okay. So
I'm happy for them.
So they can send all their stuff to us. The Supreme Court also mentioned that Florida had failed to send the ballots to the military people overseas 45 days in advance, which they're required to do by their statute. And that, therefore, when those mail-in ballots came in late, they weren't counting them. So the states, it's going to be incumbent on the states to mail those ballots in time.
As it should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what about the postmark?
I agree.
We
There's
don't know.
A problem.
We don't know.
Yeah, and I, you may have it completely right, but I thought it might not get postmarked in New Bern, but if the collection point before it gets redistributed is where it gets marked, okay. Not the final destination post office, I don't think.
I don't know.
It's a two-day difference, okay. According to the article. It's a two-day difference.
Alan, go for it.
Okay, we just said
we'll keep rolling.
A short period of time. But anyway, I'll bring up this. It's a quick issue. While we're talking about court decisions, there was an announcement today that the court, the lawsuit in California against social media sites, citing that they were causes of children becoming addicted, mentally disturbed, and so on, was won by the defendants, and they were awarded $3 million. And I think it was, to the family of the children who were affected, at least in that suit. And that, you know, that may be set a precedent, perhaps, for other decisions in other states.
It was won by the defendants? In other words, it
yes.
was defeated?
No, the...
You mean plaintiffs?
Plaintiffs, excuse me.
All right.
Plaintiffs, the plaintiffs won.
And that seems like that would open up...
Thank you very
up,
much.
You're welcome.
That seems like that would open up... $3 million's nothing to them, or the company, but
it's
if
precedent.
You have $1 million, $3 million... Now, that's some real money.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see what happens from that. And one other comment about that whole area is parents shouldn't be given a pass. I mean, parents have to take ownership of this. And I really struggle with really hitting these companies super hard unless there is absolute nefarious stuff going on.
Tyra says that all the time on Greg Gutfeld. Where are the parents?
And I agree. Because the parents pay the internet bill. They buy the kids their phones. They have used social media and the computers and handheld devices as childcare.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, what do you have for us?
This is a follow-on to Mary's point that, and Kim's point, that 23 votes matter, that your vote matters. Some sheriff, and they were telling me it's out in California, I forgot what state, he just confiscated 45,000 ballots because he thinks there's chicanery with that election. I don't know which election it was, but it stirred the angry bees. They're all, you can't do that. You can't look at the ballots. You're going to have to give them back. And so far, he's getting to keep the ballots. So we'll see what happens there. And, you know, the point of the article was the Democrats are always telling us that there's no such thing as election fraud. And yet, this morning I read about a judge in a small town, in a township, election, he let 11 people that weren't registered to vote, vote. And so he had to plead guilty to a felony, and they haven't sentenced him yet, but he's looking at prison time. So
that'll get some people's attention.
Crocodile tears.
Yeah. So your vote counts. Oh, and I wanted to, yesterday I read an article that said, it was commenting on deploying ICE to the airports, where ICE is not taking the place of TSA agents, you know, putting your luggage through. They're kind of standing around managing the lines and handing out water and standing in line for people that so they can go to the bathroom. And yet wait times plummeted from 4 hours to 40 minutes. And this
totally upsetting CNN.
And yes, and this article was wondering if it was because all the illegal aliens went home.
well, the other thing dealing with that airport line, Delta Airlines has decided to suspend any special privileges for members of Congress.
Right.
Get online.
Yep.
Go to the end of the line.
You stand in line.
The other part of that is that ICE, they are evidently occasionally checking IDs and helping out with things like that. But having them at the airports, not masked, helping people, and they're helping people with luggage and doing all kinds of stuff, is totally presenting an image that the mainstream media does not even want to think about, because people are interacting with them in a very positive way.
And thanking them for their service.
Yes. If you don't break the law, there is no reason to have a problem with ICE. And people are starting to realize that. If you try to run them over with your SUV, you might have some difficulty. But if you're interacting with them and following their directions and doing what you're supposed to, there's no problem.
Well, the House Minority Leader has talked about they're going to go there, they're going to shoot people.
Yeah.
They're
going
to, you know, all this grandiose Garden. Comments that at some point people have to just.
Was that Hakeem Jeffries?
Yeah, yes. Have to just.
In a center.
just say, these are just a bunch of liars. And then I forget who it was. It was one of the, it was Brennan that was on the separate topic now, probably jumping a little bit. But he was on there saying he waited until Iran said a statement about whether we're negotiating or not. And they said no. And he took Iran's.
Yeah, he said, I trust.
Now, do we still know, are they negotiating or not? Absolutely. But I believe Trump a lot more than I believe.
Yeah, Brennan said he never believes Trump.
Yeah, he believes
Trump
Iran.
Is just a total liar.
And he's the one
that
has been caught up in lying
more than
anybody.
He has a rather checkered past.
So, anyway.
But this is, you know, becoming a really extended problem that you would think that the Democrats at some point were going to suffer from this because, I mean, it's affecting a lot of people. And unnecessarily. And it's not just the inconvenience to the passengers. It's the TSA agents that are not getting paid. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have quit. Some of them, they can't pay their bills. They can't pay their rent. They can't pay whatever other expenses they have. And they're being penalized just so the Democrats can stand up and say, well, we got to change ICE because ICE is a terrible. It's really, to me, it's kind of like an defunding the police effort on the part of the Democrats. That's how I see
FEMA's not being paid for, and they were called to Hawaii for that big flood they had there. And so far, FEMA is able to help Hawaii with that problem. But also, something nobody ever mentions, the Coast Guard's not being paid either.
Yeah, they're not getting paid either. Absolutely.
Well, I like what John Kennedy has suggested about combining the Save America Act and the Homeland Security funding together, because since it would involve dollars, it can be passed under reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
There is some question, and I'm not the lawyer, the constitutional lawyer, but one comment on that was that because the Save America Act is a policy change, it can't be done under reconciliation. I don't know if that's true or not.
Combined, it can be.
It's a matter of how you structure it, and if there's money involved, and you can get the who is it, the person that gets to say yay or nay,
the parliamentarian.
If you can frame it to where it gets past them, mm-hmm. then you can take it to vote. And I think they're going to break their pick on getting it to that place.
Yeah, poor John Fetterman. We're gonna have to rely on him again. And I read yesterday that the Philadelphia or the Pennsylvania people hate John Fetterman.
But the people love him, but
not the party. He's
not the party.
By the way, the district that includes Mar-a-Lago flipped to Democrat, and the Republicans won it by 19 points.
We had another one this week or last week that had been won by the Democrats by 15 points that flipped Republican. So I just think everybody's crazy right now, and we need to just ignore the whole thing.
Well, I think as Pat brought up, this one in Florida that's potentially a problem because you've had so many people move from the northeast down to Florida. The question becomes, are these people who moved down there, who have been lifelong Democrats, are they going to continue to fall back to the Democrat Party? And that's a scary thought because, you know, it would reverse the entire thrust of not only Florida, but Texas the same way. They're being inundated. People from California.
I was living in New Mexico, and a bunch of Californians bought houses and moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Right.
And the Santa Feans, the locals, just hated it because they got in there, they built these big houses, they wanted more water, which meant more taxes, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they just hated having them there. Yeah.
Well, and just because they're upset with New York doesn't make them conservative.
No.
They're just trying to get out of taxes.
Yep.
So I think that's a real danger.
Their philosophy doesn't necessarily
change. They're not philosophically changed. They're monetarily
Now, wait a
driven.
Minute. I just want to point something out. We're sitting here as a table full of conservatives. None of us grew up in North Carolina. None of us went to school in North. Well, you probably did. You go to school in North?
Graduate school.
You went to graduate school. You're a New Yorker. Bob is a New Yorker. My teenage years were New Jersey. You guys are from Ohio.
It was the weather, wasn't it? Texas.
And you're Virginia.
From Virginia.
So,
but I have family in North Carolina.
But even those of us who came from liberal states knew enough to get away from the philosophy. And I just think it's ironic that we're sitting here as a table full of conservatives from everywhere but North Carolina.
Well, Ohio was not liberal.
It's got parts of it are.
Like I mean, parts of it,
Cleveland,
like any place else, but as a state.
Taft originally came from Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, you're speaking of the Northeast, whatever else. This past weekend, so many people were insulted by the president, okay? And we heard it because of the way the media reported it.
Yes.
The media reported Robert Mueller's dead. I am glad that he is dead.
Me too.
But that was half of the statement. He can no longer hurt anybody else.
Innocent
That's
people.
The part that innocent people. That was the part that was not reported. And taken in context,
That's a reasonable statement.
That's a very reasonable statement.
But to only report half of it, we had a number of people screaming that how could Trump say that? So,
and how could the people that are screaming misunderstand what he meant? Because he put Trump's family through hell.
Well, we remember him for Whitey Bulger, which is a whole other thing where a policeman, I don't remember whether he was a policeman or state trooper, wound up dying in jail because of trumped-up charges when Mueller was the head of the New England FBI.
Trying to cover up for
Mueller was a dirty cop.
Yes.
And I'm glad he's dead, too.
Okay.
So there. I don't like dirty cops.
I'm going to bring up something real quick before we close. Totally different subject, but I think we can do it quick. An Ohio appeals court has ruled that not agreeing with a child's transgender wish is not reason to take the child away from the parents.
Good for them.
So they have ruled in favor of parents'
rights.
Good for them.
And I am thrilled that somebody is doing this, because the court said the parent has the right to raise her child, which includes the right to participate in significant decisions about her child's mental health.
And the sad part about this, Mary, is the fact that in this country at this point, we have to take an issue like that, that most people are going to believe in or have believed in, and we may have to go to court to get it affirmed.
Yes.
I mean, if you don't believe that parents have a right to determine the behavior of their children, why are they called minors under 18 years of age?
Yeah. Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, we appreciate your visiting the sponsors and letting them know that you heard about them on the air. Alan, you wanted to take us off to...
I just wanted to relate something that happened this past Saturday that is something that I think reflects the conservative and hopefully growing conservative viewpoint in Craven County and in this part of North Carolina. And I think it's encouraging. And what I'm referring to is that at the Republican convention for Craven County, they had a series of resolutions that were proposed. The purpose of the resolutions was to communicate to the politicians and our people in office about topics that the conservatives would like to see advanced.
Now, a resolution is the sense of where we would like to go. It's not in legalese.
Right. It is exactly. It's an issue or a direction or a principle that they would like, the conservatives would like to see proposed and followed through. And I just summarized just a couple of them real quickly. First one was to make English the official language of the United States. I've been advocating that for years. That needs to be done. We don't need to become a multilingual society.
Trump did an executive order on that.
The second thing is having to do with assimilation. Assimilation being the notion that you have to swear allegiance to the United States and focus your dedication and your belief in America, not in the foreign country you're coming from. The next one has to do with only natural-born citizens being able to hold public office, federal and local public office, which is another thing that, again, is trying to assure that the traditions and values of this country are continued, which every conservative should believe in. And the other thing, another resolution had to do with only citizens can be used to determine congressional districts. Right now, when they form a congressional district, it's based on a headcount. And those headcounts can include illegals, people that aren't even citizens. That needs to be stopped. And also, one other thing was that birthright citizenship should only be granted to people who are citizens. Not just people flying in for vacation and they have a child here in the United States and that child becomes a citizen. So those are some of the conservative issues that I think people who think conservatively should be encouraged by.
And they're really not partisan issues. They are more the sense of maintaining this country. I mean, if you go back to the State of the Union speech, when President Trump asked those that supported the American people to please stand, half of the Congress did not stand.
Right. I think it's important to keep in mind when we're talking about all of these conservative ideas that Alan just shared with us, they have to do with our culture, with the American culture, with our founding as a country and the values of those founders. And we went to a wall builders.
NC Family Policy.
Yeah, but.
Event.
But the wall builders, Tim Barton was the keynote speaker. And he was talking about some founding documents and how there was a massive research project done that took 10 years. But the idea of the project was to take quotes out of the founding documents and assign it to the original text to see where these quotes came from that were used. And the Bible was the number one quoted thing in all of our founding documents, almost 40%. And I think that that tells us as a country, as culture, when we have people like Ilhan Omar in Minnesota coming in with a Muslim Somali mindset, that's what I'm talking about a lot of times when I'm talking about conservative values. It's my country's identity that we lose when some of those things get lost.
Absolutely. And that's this assimilation is so critical. And she, that Ilhan Omar, she stood up at some conference or something she was talking at, and she said the trouble with America is there's too many white people. That was exactly her comment. And, you know, I mean, if that's the way you feel, you should stay where you were. You should go back to Somalia and take root there.
Well, that just leads to the point that the gubernatorial debate in California was canceled because the only candidates that made the cutoff were all white.
Were they all men?
Yes.
Well, that's another reason. All white men, you know, they're all bad.
Well, see, they're the only ones that can get IDs.
Oh.
Well, it was probably a deal where you had to have so many contributions and, you know, support in order to make the cutoff, just like with the presidential debate. And one of the guy that used to be the mayor of L.A., Hispanic guy, didn't make the cutoff. So he complained, and they canceled the whole thing.
So people are going to vote for a name recognition instead of necessarily the...
Without knowing anything
well,
about it.
Well, that's not new.
I know, but I complained about that all last week, with ignorance of the voters.
Well, is it ignorance, or is it a managed lack of knowledge?
Well, I combine the word ignorance with laziness, with... just not knowing or not interested in knowing and voting a party over a principle or an idea, that's ignorance to me.
Or is it ignorance or is it misinformed because they watch the mainstream media? Because we were talking off air about, or was it on air? About
it was on
the
air.
Trump quote. Yeah, and how many people heard the second half of that quote?
Right.
Not too many.
Well, how many people heard him condemn the Nazis and the white supremacists at that that rally?
Clarksville, yeah.
Yeah, they don't report that.
And how many people heard the statement on January 6th, walk peacefully? Yes.
Well, they did the same thing to Charlie Kirk after he was assassinated in taking partial quotes to make him out to be a racist and people hater.
Yeah, well, they did that to Pete Hegseth recently, but I can't remember what it was.
Well, that's why you can never hate them enough. You ever see that title to an article?
Yes.
Can never hate the media enough.
Because they're lying to us and they're trying to misrepresent things.
Well, they're lying to right to our face about voter ID and the SAVE Act.
Oh, now wait a minute. Our elections are the most secure that they've ever been.
Sure they are.
I think it will be very interesting to see what finally comes out in the trial of Maduro about the Venezuelan voting machines and what went on in the 2020 election.
So we, in about 3 minutes, we hit on about a dozen areas of lying and deception, which is the tip of the iceberg compared to what's in the mainstream media.
Exactly.
I mean, it just covers up the news cycle. And
what about all the press that's hoping we fail in Iran? That just boggles my mind, particularly as a former military member.
Well, that's the absolute
demonstration of Trump derangement syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They hate Trump more than they hate
than they love the country.
Than they love the country, however we want to say it. That is absolute.
It used to be, back in the age of dinosaurs, when I was in my young 20s, that both parties wanted success for America. They had different ideas about how to achieve it, but the patriots were scattered among both parties. And I don't know when that stopped.
No, well, all activity happened in a smoke-filled back room, cigar
smoke-filled. But it did. But they still loved America.
When it became about power of those that feel like they're best to rule versus the will of the people.
I'm going to blame higher education for teaching our young folks to be socialists.
Well, when
that's
did
part
it,
of it.
When did it become acceptable to get a college degree or an advanced degree in politics? Didn't you used to have to learn a profession or something like that?
And no, political science. You could always major in political science.
Yeah, a lot of lawyers have political science degrees.
Yeah. Well,
how far back?
I don't know. Our daughter has a political science degree.
Well,
she's a
youngster. She's wet behind the ears still. Pardon my French. But
why does that make her an exception?
No, I'm just saying, I don't think in the early 1900s did they really teach political science as a degree.
1900s?
Yeah, early 1900s.
That's only
100.
I'm sorry, dear. We weren't around.
No, you weren't. Okay. Not that. The dinosaurs weren't alive, were they?
but if you're talking back in the age,
before everyone went to college, that
before everyone
thing that
went
changed.
To college, that's probably a better thing to say. Yeah.
Well, I think that what we're talking about is I'm going to call it the slide towards socialism, and I believe that started in the 1960s.
I agree.
With the Great Society that Lyndon Johnson put in place.
The Rules for Radicals.
And he put together all these welfare programs. And these welfare programs may have had some legitimate purpose then, and it was intended for small groups of people who could not help themselves. For example, the food stamp program, when they first started in 1964, it started out with 500,000 people in the entire country. Now it's 42 million. 42 million people are just on the food stamp program.
That's not what Lyndon Johnson said about the Great Society.
Reality of it is it, exactly, because he knew, he said this, that these people would vote for Democrats the rest of their lives. Because if you make people dependent on the government, they want government to get bigger, and they're threatened by anything or anybody that comes in and wants to shrink the size of government. And that's just the reality of social programs. So I think that's why we're in the fix we're in.
Well, attached to that, there was something on the news today about this person that was a millionaire that was on the food stamp program. And it was legally on it, was not fraudulent, but there were some loopholes. He had assets but doesn't have income, and he was donating the stuff that he got he wasn't using it, but I think it was to prove a point that some of it is fraudulent and some of it is just poorly structured to where people get it and they don't need it.
Isn't Gavin Newsom in trouble again in California? Something just came out in the last couple of days about welfare and food stamp fraud in California that just came out.
I don't know if it was Medicaid or food stamps, but it was basically under accountability of government funds.
Yeah, and let's don't forget the bums they were signing up to vote by having them forge real voters' signatures for money and other goods.
Cigarettes
and services.
And
okay. On that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters.
Okay.
Okay. What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you want to take us on the
topic? Yeah, I just want to bring up the topic that I'm sure is on most people's minds, you know, whether it's affecting you directly by increasing gas prices, or you're concerned about the welfare and safety of this country. This war with Iran is, from the perspective of from the military perspective, it's going very well, from what I understand. They've taken out their Navy, the Iranian Navy, they've taken out the Iranian Air Force. They're not only bombing missile sites, they're also bombing and destroying manufacturing sites. And it's turned out that Iran has had more missiles than we thought they did, and it also has turned out that they have the capability with longer range or intermediate range missiles that can reach, what was it,
Diego Garcia.
And Europe. Island,
and the European capitals.
Which could take them to, and if they can do that, it's not too many years before they can reach New York or San Francisco or some places in the United States. So, yeah, Trump has been doing a great job with it. How it's going to end, and that's remains part of the problem. And so if anyone wants to chime in on it.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it shouldn't end until we land and take away their uranium.
Well, that's one of the conditions that Trump put on the table. He must give up their sanctioned uranium. I personally think that I know Trump doesn't want to advocate regime change, but I don't understand how this death cult that are these Islamists, unless you take them out of power, they're just going to reconstitute themselves.
Yeah,
opinion. It's like cancer. You know, you go in, you just take a little bit of the cancer out, it's going to grow back up again. So.
Right. Well, he's sending all those troops over there for some reason, whether it's just Karg Island, but I think it's to take their uranium.
I think that peace is going to be more complicated than the war. We made the mistake in Iraq anyone who had worked for the Iraqi government was immediately prevented from being part of the government after we came in. And what we did when we did that, not intentionally, was totally devastate the leadership. Now, I don't know how you sort out the good guys from the bad guys, and I don't know if there are any good guys in there. There is a book, I'm going to recommend a book, called A Time to Betray, written by a man named Reza Khalili, K-A-H-L-I-L-I, who grew up, became a teenager, was a teenager during the time of the Iranian Revolution. He thought the revolution was going to be free, bring freedom, and he became part of the Revolutionary Guard. Through a series of events, he wound up working for the CIA as a member of the Revolutionary Guard. He eventually came to America under an assumed name, obviously, and is no longer a spy. But he gives insight into what family life was like under the Shah, what the revolution was like, and becoming disillusioned when he realized that the revolution was not going to bring freedom, it was just going to change the tone of the tyranny. And that's the transition to a free Iran is going to be a rocky road.
One of the things I find very concerning about the war in Iran specifically is if you look historically back 47 years to who was in power then, Democrats as well as Republicans, from Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, everybody has talked about Iran can absolutely not have nuclear things. Trump is the first one that came into office that actually had the cojones to do something about it, not just have the rhetoric, but actually do something. And the fact that we have the deep state still in our Congress, that Trump is not getting the war support that he needs, the not just the financial or physical, but the emotional support that need to go, I think, like to the troops.
The PR.
Yeah, absolutely, because think about the troops.
There is a book that has come out recently talking by Mike Evans, and I don't remember the name of the book, talking about the fact that Jimmy Carter, when he was president, encouraged the taking down of the Shah and the bringing in of the Ayatollah, because he thought the Ayatollah would be a Mahatma Gandhi-type leader who would be religious and would bring freedom.
Well, Obama supported the Ayatollahs.
Yes, he did.
Because he wanted Iran to become a regional power.
Yes, he did. And he sent them all kinds of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give an opposition view that we've talked about. All Democrats didn't do anything. During that same era, there were Republican
who
presidents.
Who didn't do anything. That's
who didn't
true.
Do anything either. Probably didn't do anything as bad as the Democrats.
Yeah, well, it was probably like a tar baby. Who wants to touch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about George Bush and George H.W. Bush.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't.
And even Reagan. Even
they
Reagan.
Did not
because
want
Reagan,
to touch.
Reagan won because Carter put himself in exile within the White House for a year.
Well, Reagan won because, and as soon as Reagan was inaugurated, those hostages came home because they thought he was a loose cannon. And Trump has some of that reputation, which is why the press hates him so much, because he is an apple cart upsetter. And if he actually is successful, has a successful administration, which he well may, some of those cocktail parties may not be as frequent as they are right now, and different people might get invited to them.
Well, Mary, do you think that Trump is... his love of country is greater than love of party? Because I do.
Yes.
Definitely. And I think that the things that's what differentiates him from every other president we've ever had.
And I think that differentiates him from most of Congress. Now, we have come into a situation where people love their parties and their power more than their country.
Now, the question is, the MAGA movement,
Was the MAGA movement there looking for a valid leader?
No.
No?
No. They weren't looking for Trump. Nobody was.
Nobody saw him coming.
The MAGA movement didn't come into creation until Trump
came in and defined it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was based on the Tea Party, but the Tea Party had lost its way.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. It was based on any number of conservative interests and movements under several names.
Yeah, the time is right.
And I believe if it weren't for those individual organizations, MAGA would not have hit the ground running.
Yeah. So we were the roots.
I want to believe so.
The soil was prepared.
Yeah.
And Trump popped up because he surprised everybody.
When he came down, if you go back and look at Right Wing Granny, when he came down the escalator, there is no way I took that man seriously. And I didn't take him seriously until I watched a couple of the debates. And then I started paying attention.
Well, if you read any of the articles that are looking back to what Trump was saying in the 80s about tariffs, mm-hmm. about geopolitical power centers, he's been saying this stuff.
It's consistent, yeah.
Since the 80s.
As a Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it had nothing to do with the party.
Well, he was in New York, so naturally he was a Democrat.
Well, I've seen video clips just in the last week of Hillary and Schumer saying exactly the same things that Trump has said. Exactly.
Well, there is a clip, and I don't know whether it's fake news or not, I'll be honest. But there is a picture of Hillary Clinton saying that we needed somebody like Trump to be president. But, of course, that was when he was a Democrat. And that was one of the reasons that I was hesitant to support him when he came out, because he was running as a Republican, but I remembered him as a Democrat. And I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, because we remember Bloomberg, who, as mayor of New York, who ran as a Democrat, Republican, because the Democrat primary was too crowded, and he felt he could win as a Republican. He wasn't a Republican.
Well, I'll have to say that he was not my choice, and I didn't vote for him during the primary.
No, I didn't either.
Well, with Trump, though, what you have to remember is he was a business person at heart, and he wasn't in it for a career. He was in it to fix a problem, which is how he faced his businesses.
Yeah.
And the reason that I think the mainstream party people don't like him is because he is rocking the boat. He is shaking the foundations of some of the big donors, the lobbyists, the big money people. So I think that just in general, he has angered the power structure to the point that they're scared about retaining power.
Yeah, their power.
He's one of the few people that has been elected and gone into politics that lost significant amount of money. Very few go there and don't gain a lot more money than they had when they started.
He's also one of the few that's kept his word on what he said he was going to do.
When we talk about parties, a lot of times Democrats and Republicans, if people ask me what my party affiliation is, I don't say I'm a Republican. I say I'm a constitutional conservative. I feel like I'm a very reluctant Republican.
Yes, I agree.
I would agree. And, you know, Trump came in also with, again, the art of the deal. He came in knowing how to negotiate. I don't need to begin with my final offer as my first offer. I am going to shoot for the stars.
And he's not having to pay anybody back, and he's not worried about reelection.
And he had to bypass the State Department to solve these foreign problems, because otherwise our State Department have been, you know, going along to get along for how many years? They never had any policies that would address this issue. And so that's another power structure within our government that was deep state. And he put Rubio in there, which surprised me. And he is doing a kick-ass job.
Well, it's beyond just the deep state sense, but they were completely off the hook, illegal about treating Trump for the last 10 years.
It came out yesterday that they had recorded phone calls on Susie Wiles and an attorney.
And bank records on Cash Patel.
You know, every red line that Trump has put in the sand, he stuck to it.
Folks, on that, we're going to have to end the show for today. Thanks for listening. This is CCT8 Wake Up Call.